As wildfires force evacuations and destroy homes around the state this summer, the donations start to pile up.
People give canned food and clothing for the fire crews, so much so that Pima County officials last week said stop. Safety rules prevent the clothing from being worn or the food from being eaten. Instead, they say if you want to help, make a monetary donation to the local fire department.
So why do people do this? What is behind this impulse to give something, anything, even something useless to help a cause? The show's Lauren Gilgers joins us now with more. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, guys. So there's a lot behind that question. And to get some answers, I turn to a familiar voice here on the show, Dr. Art Markman. He's a professor of psychology at the University of Texas, Austin, and of course, one of the hosts of Two Guys on Your Head, which you've heard right here.
Any kind of a disaster creates a little rip in the fabric of people's life story, right? And whenever that happens, whether it's a disaster or the death of a celebrity or the death of a loved one, any kind of a situation like that creates this unsettled feeling. And what that does is to prompt us to want to act. And in the case of disasters, people feel helpless, and so they want to reassert some control. And so they naturally step out and say, well, what can I do? And that's where the donations start.
Right, right. And so people are willing to donate. There's this impulse that we want to do something. But it doesn't sound like, given some of the research, that they always do that in the best way.
Well, part of the problem is we live in this society right now where there aren't a lot of shared rituals across our culture. People move around a lot. People don't share a lot of their background. And as a result, we don't have a shared way for dealing with these kinds of tragedies. And so we have this general idea that when something happens, a great thing to do is to donate. And so people fall back on that, but they're not sure what to donate, who to donate to, or how to go about it. And so they often do things that are extraordinarily well-intentioned, but end up not actually being helpful.
So when your grandmother dies or your spouse dies, and why is it that people want to bring casseroles, right? Like, what is it? Is it people just grasping for anything they think they can do? Or is it just these are the fallbacks?
Well, if you look at one of the things that religions do very well, they create rituals around situations that don't happen very often to particular individuals. So there are rituals, for example, around death and mourning, both for the community and for the individual who suffered a loss. And those rituals are in place to help you to know what to do in a situation where it would be very hard to experience it often enough to learn what to do. Now, we live in a society in the United States where there's both a tremendous amount of mobility and a tremendous amount of cultural variation. And so there isn't a shared tradition. And as a result of that, I think people have that same impulse to reach out and do something, but they're not quite sure what to do. And so they end up giving some food in the moment because they feel like, well, that's an easy thing that I can do right now. And of course, that means that someone who suffered a loss is then inundated with food.
Yes. Well, and the most obvious example I think that comes to mind is when something bad happens in your life, someone will send you a card to say, I'm sorry. Is that an empty gesture anymore? Or is that sort of one of these rituals we may have set up in lieu of religious rituals for these things?
Yeah. I mean, look, the fact is that when somebody's gone through a difficult situation, whether it's a death or a divorce or some other a loss of a job, we don't know what to say to them. Right. There isn't a kind of proscribed thing to say. And in the absence of a culture that tells you this is the thing you're supposed to say, then condolence cards are kind of a handy way of saying, well, here's something you can do that is a gesture that simply lets the person know that they're being thought about.
Yeah.
And in that way, I think it's actually not an empty gesture. Having suffered losses in my life, I can tell you that just knowing that there were people out there who were paying attention was comforting, even if it came in the form of a card with a signature at the bottom.
Yeah. And I guess the new form, right, of a condolence card is probably on Facebook or on social media somehow. Like, that's how we'll keep in touch with family and friends and let them know that something bad has happened in our lives. Do you think that that's sort of changed the way that we react to these things? Because people can simply comment on a Facebook post and say, I'm really sorry.
We've certainly narrowed the cost of engaging with people. And I think that has both pluses and minuses. I mean, on the plus side, it's just easy to comment on a thread. You know, lots of people now will actually create a post that says that they've just suffered a loss, and then people will comment on that. I think that it's nice to know you're surrounded by people who care. But, you know, there is the thing about the response to any tragedy is that it really takes place over time. And I think that one of the nice things about condolence cards or other traditions that require people to get together is that they spread the amount of time out over which people are offering their sympathy, which I think can be really useful for people who've suffered any kind of a loss, because their experience is going to be carried out in time.
So given all of this, whether it's a fire in northern Arizona or, you know, the loss of a family member, what are the best ways, I guess, for people to offer something, to offer help of some kind for themselves psychologically and for the person who's grieving?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that we can guarantee is that at some point a bad thing is going to happen. And so it's actually useful to be a little prepared for that, meaning find a charity that is one that you believe is valuable and useful, and use that as a response to the tragedies that you see, whether it's by creating a sustained gift to them or giving in honor or memory or for the help of something that's just happened. Be prepared for that. And I think the same thing is true more broadly. I mean, I think it's actually interesting to step back and take a look at some of the rituals that various communities have created around the kinds of bad things that can happen, so that you can be prepared for how to react to the people around you and not have to make it up in the moment.
All right. Dr. Art Markman from KUT in Austin, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to The Show.